We're back with Santa Fe Radio Cafe. This is Diana filling in for Mary Charlotte, and I am here now with Candace Walsh. Candace is the managing editor at New Mexico Magazine, and we're very happy to have her with us today to speak of the arts. Hi, Candace.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Oh, good.
Once again, it's summer in Santa Fe, and there's an awful lot to do.
It's just booming. I just love looking through all the publications, including New Mexico Magazine, to see what to do this summer, and it's really ramping up.
Exciting times. And I know last week there was so much to do, you almost couldn't decide which event to choose, but I think we'll have some today to help people direct their energy.
Absolutely. I'm very, very excited about tomorrow's opening at the Museum of Spanish Colonial Art. Window on Lima, the Beltran Krupp Peruvian Art Collection. Especially excited about it because we have a big article in Artscapes in our July issue written by the wonderful Susan Hurd. She really brought us into this story of a kind of a jet-setting, a mid-century Vanity Fair couple, a very wealthy diplomat, and his American wife, Miriam Krupp. They traveled, they were activists, they represented the people, and they also collected a lot of amazing art and really like just heirloom quality home goods. And the reason why it was interesting to New Mexico Magazine is that the Spanish colonial influence was very evident in the work. We're used to seeing how Spanish colonial art was interpreted in New Mexico, and we get to see how it was interpreted in Peru, given the natural resources available. There was just tons and tons of silver, so some of the art pieces, beautiful traditional religious scenes, have silver frames that are so ornate, they almost overshadow the art.
The frames themselves.
They're like bigger than the art, and it just goes to show you what abundance can do.
And Susan Hurd, who I know and is a great writer,
yeah,
wrote this article.
Yeah.
And you can the exhibit opens this weekend.
It opens tomorrow at the Spanish Museum of Spanish Colonial Art, and I think you'll get a lot out of it with that nice backgrounder by Susan Hurd.
Nice, and of course the museum is at Museum Hill.
Yes.
Another exciting thing going on this weekend is it is time for the annual Santa Fe Greek Festival.
Woohoo!
Are you Greek at all?
Yes, I am Greek.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I actually talk about it a lot in my book. Licking the Spoon, I have wonderful Greek relatives. They made my story much more interesting. But I do love Greek culture, and it's so much fun to dip into it every year at the convention center with the food, the music, the wine, the fun things to buy. I mean, this year I'm definitely going to buy some kind of jewelry or shirt or scarf or something.
I've never been, and it is at the convention center, as you said. It's Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 9. And it includes great Greek food from chefs around town. We have a pretty large Greek community, surprisingly, here in Santa Fe. There'll be chefs from the Plaza Cafe Southside, Upper Crust Pizza, Tomasita's, and, interestingly, the St. Elias priest, Father Demetrius Pappas.
Wonderful. He's so cooking?
He is, apparently.
Wow.
So if you'd like more information about that, please go to SantaFeGreekFestival.com.
It's also Pride Weekend. And to kick that off tonight, the Santa Fe Pride is sponsoring a free showing of The Sound of Music at the Rail Yard tonight at 8 p.m.
Outside, outdoors.
Oh, yes. It's such a classic, and everyone loves it. And I think it's just so exciting and going to be a really great event. Tomorrow, the parade starts at 11 a.m. at the Roundhouse. And at noon at the Rail Yard Park, there will be just a whole slate of performers and vendors, including a show by Bella Gigante, the newly crowned Santa Fe Pride 2013, and a wonderful performance by Studio Nia. The teachers will be doing a dance performance that is also kind of like a demonstration, and many of the people in the crowd are familiar with it, so it'll have a flash mob vibe.
Also tied in with Pride Weekend is Little Shop of Horrors at Warehouse 21. The young people at Warehouse 21 are doing a production of Little Shop of Horrors. It's presented by Darling Star Productions. That'll be tonight and tomorrow night at 7 p.m., Sunday at 2 and 7. All the actors and the director are 19 and 20-something-year-olds who are putting this on. And, of course, the music's great, 60s rock and roll, Motown, Most people, I think, are familiar a little bit with Little Shop of Horrors, so come see the local production at Warehouse 21.
Let's put on a show. Speaking of shows, Santa Fe Bandstand begins its and rich season. Tonight, Yvonne Ulibarri and Cafe Mocha at the Santa Fe Plaza. It's such a huge, like, community event.
Everyone
comes out and dances and just gets right into it and shows that we are not an uptight community at all.
We knew that, but we'll prove it to some more of our tourists and locals.
Every single night at the Bandstand, we will prove it. I'm especially excited about the Bandstand season because three of the performers that we've featured in articles over the last couple of months are also going to be performing for free. Max Gomez from Taos, who's been really breaking out, Joe West, and John O'Manson. And you can read all those articles at nmmagazine.com.
New Mexico Magazine. You know, I'm going to do a little plug for the KSFR Fun Drive. As everyone probably knows, there's an on-air fun drive scheduled for later this summer. But if we get people to give now and we can meet the KSFR goal in this, quote, silent fun drive, we will cancel the on-the-air fun drive and stick to the programming you love without the fun drive part later. If you do give in the silent fun drive, you will be registered in a drawing to win an Apple iPad. You could win passes to the Santa Fe Opera, the wonderful New Mexico Jazz Festival, which is sponsored, of course, by Outpost Performance Space, the Lensic, and the new Santa Fe Jazz Foundation, or passes to the screen. So between now and noon on July 1st, we are encouraging you to donate by mailing in your check, if you received an envelope from KSFR, going to ksfr.org and clicking on the support button at the top of the homepage, or you can call 428-1527. Again, if you'd like to donate to KSFR, call 428-1527.
I think that's such a great idea. It really plugs into what people might want, and I really think it's going to work out.
I hope so.
You said opera, so I just have to jump in and talk about opera, even though nothing explicitly is happening this week. Next Friday is opening night, and the Grand Duchess of Gerolstein is going to be the first show. And I'm saying this a week ahead of time because I think people need to plan. If they do want to go, what are they going to wear? What are they going to cook for the tailgate?
Food.
And, you know, this time there's a really cool new event happening. It's a tailgating contest. I think many of us who love to tailgate, we have a certain level of inner competitiveness when it comes to that. But now they're making it explicit. And the really neat thing about that is that Joyce DiDonato, who is one of the divas of the season, international mezzo-soprano, who will be starring in La Donna il Lago, she's going to be one of the judges. The woman
it's still early.
She's the wife of the chairman and at the opera, and it was her idea to do this. And her name escapes me at the moment, which I'm sorry for. But also the chef from Encantado Resort. They're all going to be wandering around and popping in to see what everyone's got going on. So I would say go to the SantaFeOpera.com website, register, start brainstorming your big tailgating, you know, event, and see you there. Good luck.
And it's not your average college football tailgating party. I'm not going to be bringing my hot dogs and...
Well, you can. That's the beautiful thing about it. I mean, you can go in jeans and then nobody will look at you funny, but this time I think everyone's encouraged to bring their A game. And I learned about this when writing the opera preview that is in the July issue of New Mexico Magazine. And you'll get to read about all the different operas this season, what makes them special, including the world premiere of Oscar, about Oscar Wilde. So that gave me a little bit of extra lead time to prepare. So
nice. There's another poetry event this weekend. It's called the Renga Project. The Renga Project will have its opening celebration ceremony tonight at 6 in the rail yard. It's located in the rail yard in a spot that's between Site Santa Fe and Warehouse 21. Is that the south side of the rail yard? Mm-hmm. But here's what the Renga Project is. It's a project that will be a poem written by a number of poets in the community. And tonight, Dana Levin, one of our most popular and well-known poets from Santa Fe, will read a three-line stanza, and that will kind of kick off the project, in which other poets will add to the ongoing poem, and I believe they will have it posted at a spot there in the rail yard. This is an event that's sponsored by Axel Contemporary, and it'll be introduced by Santa Fe Poet Laureate John Davis. Iced green tea will be served, which is another bonus. Poetry and iced green tea. The project lasts for 52 weeks. It's going to last for, in other words, 1 year. And Renga is a traditional Japanese form of collaborative poetry that dates back to the 14th century.
See, I was just going to say that this sounds so modern and like such a multimedia event and so, you know, collaborative in that crowdsourcing of or crowd sharing or social media vibe kind of thing that is so today. And then you tell me that it's like centuries old. And, you know, it just goes to show you that those kinds of things go together so beautifully. It's like we've always had the same instincts. We just have new tools to play with.
You're so right. And we have the rail yard to do it in now, too. I don't believe they had that back then. The rail yard's really where it's happening, I keep learning from reading all these Speaking of the Arts events
exactly.
each week.
El Rancho de las Golondrinas, which is committed staunchly to history.
Staunchly. To colonial, Spanish colonial history.
For it. They're having an herb and lavender fair Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 4. You can take a horse-drawn wagon ride and look at the museum's herb gardens. Last year I grew some basil and thyme, and it was so convenient not to have to run to the store and just to have like tons of booming plants and make lots of pesto. So yay.
I'm coming over, if that's okay.
Well, it kind of died over the winter, and I didn't realize that it would. But yeah, sometimes perennials are really annuals. but back to the lavender point, children can make a lavender wand, maybe some grown-ups too. I'm excited about drinking lavender lemonade because one time I made lavender ice cream for a work project and it relaxes you.
Lavender ice cream?
Oh, just because of the like, fresh culinary lavender in it, it's a real relaxer and legal. And
the legal relaxer,
yeah,
lavender ice cream.
And so I'd much rather do that without the ice cream part. Lemonade is probably more forgiving to the metabolism. New Mexico has amazing lavender farms all over, including in Abiquiu, and you can buy some of the lavender products as gifts or for yourself. There's going to be a curandera, live marimba music from Camusha, a wonderful local marimba band. They're at so many great events, and you can learn more about gardening and aromatherapy. So I think that's going to be fun for the whole family.
I have something to tell folks about. It is an event that is known as the Santa Fe Flute Immersion 2013. The instrument, the flute, people who are flautists, I guess you call them.
Be confused with flautas.
Flautas. You might be able to eat flautas at the flautist event here. This Santa Fe Flute Immersion takes place from June 18th to June 23rd. It's presented by the New Mexico Performing Arts Society, and it's a gathering of nationally recognized faculty and flute students, very talented performers from the ages teenagers to 50-something, from child prodigies to, as I said, seasoned professionals, from all over the country and Canada. They will be coming to Santa Fe, and they will be presenting a concert on Sunday, June 23rd, at 5:30 at the Immaculate Heart of Mary Chapel, which it's at the IHM Retreat and Conference Center, and I have to say I'm not sure exactly where that is, but we can find out if you visit the website nmperformingarts.org.
Thank God for websites.
Thank God.
We get to tell you so much more about what's going on instead of the little details and the nitty-gritty. I want to take a moment to celebrate Las Vegas, our neighbor to
Viva.
The east. There is a book called Learning Las Vegas, Portrait of a Northern New Mexico Place by author and photographer Elizabeth Barlow that was just published by the Museum of New Mexico Press. And the panel discussion and book launch is 2 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, June 22nd, at the New Mexico History Museum Auditorium. The photos are beautiful in this book. There's so much of a romantic Victorian thing going on there, and that's something I discovered when writing about this band of stalwart preservationists who live in Las Vegas, headed by Cindy Collins. She renovated a Victorian row house, and she got to learn so much about the history of the town She had come from San Francisco, where Victorians are not only ubiquitous, but really expensive. She came to this beautiful place to visit her sister and instantly fell in love. She's on her second Victorian, and she and other preservation-minded folk have something called the Facade Squad.
Facade Squad.
Yeah, they go around, and they'll just go to a building that's abandoned or a storefront that needs some love, and they'll just go ahead and paint it a beautiful color. So when I think about Las Vegas and when I looked at the beautiful pictures of all the Victorian homes, it made me think about that article, which is available at nmmagazine.com.
Very nice. There's another, Las Vegas is the New Mexico iconic city, I guess you'd say, and
sure,
a great place to visit. One of New Mexico's iconic writers is being featured in a book called The Selected Letters of Willa Cather.
Ooh.
And the author, Janice Stott, will be reading from the book on 6 p.m. next Thursday, June 27th, at Collected Works Bookstore. Willa Cather, of course, is the author of Death Comes for the Archbishop, which is a fictional account of Bishop Lamy's experiences in Santa Fe and his establishment of a diocese in New Mexico. I've seen the book and it's lovely, and I'm sure it sheds a lot of light on the life and inner thoughts and workings of Willa Cather.
Wow. Yeah, I love Cather. Last October we ran a piece by Theo Pauline Nestor about her book, which the title escapes me, but it's all about a young man who goes and explores, happens upon some really stunning cliff dwellings and the kinds of things that come from that experience. So I'm happy to learn more about her and what she's done here.
And Janice Stout, the author, of course, knows lots about it and will be answering questions and reading from the book again at Collected Works next Thursday at 6.
Fantastic. I'm very intrigued by Blanca Nieves, which is a Spanish film that is debuting here today. It's a reinterpretation of Snow White. They in the movie, which won 10 Goyas, which is like the equivalent of winning 10 Oscars.
In Spain?
Right.
Goya?
They replaced the father as a king with the father as a bullfighter. And it just looks, it's at the screen. And it's going to be playing tonight and throughout the week.
At the screen.
Yeah.
There are lots of art openings this weekend, of course, and there's one at Pop Santa Fe called Urban Enchantments, New Visions of Iconic New Mexico. This kind of ties in with the Las Vegas book, taking another look at iconic New Mexico, as
sure,
well as the Cowboys Real and Imagined.
Which is so fun.
Yeah, have you seen it yet? I have not.
Yeah, it's really, really great. And I just saw a press preview of The Lone Ranger, and I have a new love for the iconography and how its relationship to New Mexico, given that so many scenes were filmed here.
You saw the film last night or the night before?
It was two nights ago, and we had run a really beautiful pictorial and text article about it by Jason Strykowski, who's a PA on the film. He was able to share a little bit of his insider experience, and that's in the July issue. And so going to see the movie and kind of connecting the dots made me go back and reread the article anew, even though I'd read it, 12 times during the course of the editing process. I went back as a movie viewer and as a magazine reader, and I got so much more out of it, and I'm just so proud of the state for that. It's a great thing.
I'd like to see it too.
I even heard a rumor that Mr. Depp was at the Regal Cinema two nights ago.
You didn't track him down?
Well, I heard about it when I got home because it was on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard about that event too, and had I known Johnny Depp would be there, I would have gone. I think he's been waiting to meet me for a very long time.
I think so too. I think that's why he was there.
Me too. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Johnny, but come on back.
Well, apparently he just, you know, has this trickster ability to be in public and not look like Johnny Depp so much, and he just can blend with everybody.
I'm not sure how he could survive if he didn't have that ability. I think he might go...
he might get mobbed.
I think so.
Yeah, even here. Another wonderful thing that's happening, which happens over the course of the summer and is a beloved event, is Music on the Hill at St. John's College. This Wednesday, the 26th, will be Straight Up with J.Q. Whitcomb and Brian Wingard, jazz, trumpet, and saxophone. You can take a free shuttle from Museum Hill to St. John's College. It's popular to picnic, either to bring your own or to purchase from Walter Burke Catering and Sprouts. It's one of those things where you bring a blanket and you chill out, or you bring your own chairs. It's very family friendly, and hopefully I will see you there.
This sounds very interesting to me. Tomorrow night, Saturday, there is a talk called From Chaos to Complexity, The Particular in the Universal and the Universal in the Particular. Now, I have to say I might not be able to follow all of it because this is an event. I believe it's associated with the Santa Fe Institute. It's a talk by Professor Luis M. A. Betancourt and Cherokee artist L. Twist at the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts, 108 Cathedral Place. And for more information, you can call 428-5907. But they will be talking about the similarities in complexity and chaos theory and art, the art by Mr. Twist, the artist.
You know what I think? I think that given that there's this art piece, I think that we would be able to get it, Diana. Because, you know, maybe we're not
at complexity
getting courted by SFI because of our big, brilliant brains. But, you know, I think we both are in the arts, and I think that maybe that's why they designed it to be able to appeal to different kinds of intelligences. And
I think that's a good point.
We went up there. The staff of New Mexico Magazine went up there just to meet with the folks up there, and we had a wonderful lunch and a tour, and they did talk. One of the fellows there started to talk to me about complexity, and I was like, okay, pretend that
you're talking to a kindergartner.
Yeah. So I got like a little bit of it, and then I lost it. But if I want to get it back, I think I'll go to this event, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity to see where those things connect up with our really amazing, deep and historic presence of Native and Native art and Native culture here.
I agree.
And a great site.
Oh yes, and it's a beautiful. The Santa Fe Institute complex is gorgeous, as is the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts, where this will take place.
This show just makes me fall in love with Santa Fe all over again. It's true.
There's a lot of neat things here that you just don't find in other cities, that's for sure. And I think this is one example.
I almost feel smug.
I think we can feel smug about Santa Fe.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone will mind, and maybe they'll come visit.
Pablita Velarde Museum of Indian Women in the Arts on Cathedral Place is one of our newest museums in Santa Fe. It's devoted to Native women's art, which is fantastic. And they are continuing their show by the amazing Helen Hardin.
Who is, am I right, the daughter of Pablita Velarde.
And the mother of Margaret Bagshaw.
It's three generations.
That's right. We did a great piece. I want to give all the credit to Kate Nelson, who did a stunning article on Helen Hardin in our January issue. It was just wonderful and very, very fascinating in a biographical way. Talking about her path and her status as a fashion, accidental fashion icon.
I've seen photographs of her, and
she was
kind of mod.
Cat. Yeah. That makes me want to go even more knowing about her as a person as well as an artist. We also, in September, take a look for the book review of a three-book set, one for each of these women, Velarde, Bagshaw, and Hardin. And again, Kate Nelson wrote the Hardin book, A Straight Line Curved, and she also wrote an article that's coming out in September about the history of La Fonda.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
With great pictures, I suppose, because it's a beautiful, beautiful place.
Incredibly pictorial. And I'm very excited to see how that comes out. Just a little inside information.
I think we mentioned this last week, but I'll mention that it's still going on. Chapter 2, Neil Simon's comedy, is continuing to be presented at the Santa Fe Playhouse, and it stars Robert Knott, who has been on Speaking of the Arts many, many times before.
Oh, I love when he's on.
Yeah, so we're following in his footsteps, I guess, and Santa Fe Playhouse presents Neil Simon's Chapter 2. It starts at 7:30. It's Saturday night. I believe it's also tonight. It's Thursdays through Sundays through the month of June. If you'd like more information, you can go to santafeplayhouse.org or call 988-4262. I know Pasatiempo did a very nice article about the play last week, and Neil Simon, it's always good to get a little Neil Simon into your weekend.
Amen.
If you can't get Woody Allen, you take Neil Simon.
I really love how much amazing theater we have here. You mentioned Little Shop of Horrors and Chapter 2. We also have Miss Yairis, A Mystery in Four Tableaux, and that's a theater work production, a play by Belgian dramatist Michel de Gelderode.
Michel. I pronounced it Miss Gyrus last week, so
well,
I'm glad.
You know what? It could be that, too. I'm just thinking Belgian, but then you're right.
No, I'm pretty sure you're right.
Maybe we can find out later. But anyway, the point is
that we want you to see it.
James A. Little Theater. I mean, and if you do go, then you'll find out how it's pronounced. So how do you like that?
That's a reason to go in itself.
That's right. That's at 2 p.m. on Sunday. We even, you know, here we are in Santa Fe, and we get to experience Belgian theater, fun American pop theater like Little Shop of Horrors, just the kind of poignant comedy of Neil Simon. So
we've got it all. And, yeah,
And flautists.
Flautists. You can get flautists at lots of places in town. I mean,
while listening to flutes by flautists.
Flautisticas. I want to say thank you, Candace, for coming on once again.
It was, I think, a little too much my pleasure.
We have fun, and I hope you'll come back. Maybe we'll let your colleague, Rob DeWalt, come back next week and
absolutely
bring you back in here the week after.
That.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thanks. I hope you have a great weekend, and I'm sure you have a lot of ideas about what to do now. I sure do.
Absolutely. I will feel guilty if I don't do them all.
See you in the rail yard, my favorite place.
See ya.
Thanks, Candace. Thanks, everyone else, for joining us today, too, for joining me. Goodbye, everybody, and have a great weekend.